Hear now the word of God. Very familiar story. Every year we read the triumphant entry. Let's read from Matthew's account, verses 1 through Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. You'll certainly remember it. And Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem. They came to a town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said, "and as soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, 'Look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt.'" The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and the others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around were shouting, "Praise God, the Son of David, blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven." The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." It's the word of the Lord. The crowd, the city, and the Savior. The crowd, the city, and the Savior. The city is Jerusalem, the place where the temple of God resided. There was only one temple, and it was in Jerusalem. There were several synagogues. There were several places of Christian education or Jewish education, if you will. There was a synagogue in various cities, but there was only one temple, and everybody, once a year, during the Feast of the Passover, was required, if you lived within a certain radius from Jerusalem, to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a town about twice the size of Hackensack. It had about 80,000 people that lived there by day, but during the Passover, it was crowded with thousands and thousands of people beyond the normal 80,000. So there's a buzz going on in town. People there from all over. Can't you just see the Africans coming there with their African regalia on? Can't you just see some of those from the Middle East with all kinds of colors and all kinds of regalia? Can't you just see some of those riding in their chariots, others coming in on their donkey, and others just walking down the street, and some dressed in their finery? And then, thanks be to God, there were some poor folk in the crowd. They're just walking down. And they're in town, in Jerusalem, in this town, this important city. And into this town, there was this crowd of people from all over the world. There were black people, rich people, poor people. There's probably straight people, gay people. There are all kind of people. Look at somebody and say, "Well, people." In the crowd. It was a diverse group of people in the crowd. And the Bible describes for us three scenes, crowd schemes that took place in the city of Jerusalem in a period of 57 days. From Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Pentecost. Get that in your mind.
This Easter story really is not just about Easter. It's not just about Easter Sunday morning. But this story is about, it began on what? Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Pentecost. 57 days, there's crowds all over Jerusalem. This first Palm Sunday group, the Palm Sunday group, and my guess is, before I get there, my guess is, it seems to me that there were some of the same people in every crowd. In 57 days, it seems to me there were some of the same people that showed up on Palm Sunday. I believe some of that same crowd also stayed in town 5 days later, and they were in the Good Friday crowd. And then some of them stayed around after Easter, and they came from wherever they were, and they stayed in town. They didn't have no Holiday Inns back then. They just stay wherever. And it probably was like, like we used to travel. We used to go to cousin's house, to grandma's house. And we used to, how many of you ever slept on a pallet? Some people think pallets are only what they use in industry to move stuff. But we slept on a pallet. We didn't have no bed. They probably were just in town. It was a crowd in town. And I believe that some of those same people were there from Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Pentecost. Jerusalem was crowded. And so today I want to look at the crowd, the Savior, and the city. And we begin the crowd on this Palm Sunday as we look at the Matthew account. And the crowd was shouting, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." It is a large crowd, and the crowd is very supportive of Jesus. How many of you know it's a different kind of crowd that supports you and a different kind of crowd that will criticize you? But how many of you know sometimes it's the same crowd? It's the same crowd. It's just a different day, but it's the same crowd. And sometimes it's not a different day. Sometimes they praise you in the morning and kill you at night. This is Palm Sunday. And so Jesus is coming to town. They have heard of Jesus. They didn't have no Fox News, thank God. They didn't have any MSBN. They didn't have any of those news. But the word got out. There was this man named Jesus that's going around doing wonderful things. And they were looking for Jesus to show up in town. And somebody said, wait, I think that's Jesus coming. And so people were gathered all around waiting to see Jesus. And when he came to town, most of them took off their jackets. How many of you are going to take off your expensive jacket? You know, that one suit that you got that you really, really like. Jesus is coming to town, and they took off their jacket, and they laid it on the dusty ground for the donkey to walk on. How many know donkeys will do what donkeys do? Do I have to explain it to you? And so Jesus is coming to town. They took off their jacket. And some of the ladies, "Barber, that nice suit you got, take that jacket off and lay it down there so a donkey can walk on it." And another word for a donkey is what a jackass can walk on. So on this Palm Sunday, and some people did not have their jackets on, but they were just in their shirt sleeves, and they cut leaves, palm leaves. They took leaves from the trees, and you know, if they took palm, how many of you know the leaves on a palm tree is not low? Somebody had to climb the tree. And they laid their jackets and the leaves on the ground so that Jesus could pass by. It was a sign of honor, but I believe it was more than a sign of honor. I believe because they had heard so much about this wonderful guy that's going around healing people and bringing people back to life and speaking to the winds and the waves. They heard so much about him, and finally he's coming to town. I believe they put their jackets down as a sign of memento, so that they could say, you know, like Jesus and his donkey walked on this coat. I got some palm that the donkey walked on and pooped on. It was a sign of memento that they wanted everybody to know. It's like when you go to the ball game and you catch the ball. I was there. Anybody ever, you know what I'm talking about. So they went in town and Jesus walks through and they pick up the jacket and they hang it in the closet. It's like Barbara, like, don't give that jacket away. Don't put that one in the rummage sale. Jesus walked on that jacket. That jacket means something to me. Look at somebody say, it was an event kind of Christianity. They really weren't touched in their hearts. It was a parade. It was an event. And that's why they were so easily swayed. On Friday, they were out there in a parade. They weren't out there because their hearts had been touched. They were out there to see the Jesus. We got a whole lot of people in church today. They haven't really been touched. They're just here for an event. Sing to me. Make me happy. Preach to me, Jackson. So that I can feel good for about 30 seconds. But don't get it twisted. I'll crucify you in 5 days. So these people in the crowd, they with their nice jackets, showed up for an event. The crowd that broadly supported him was easily swayed. And the same folk that said, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of David." 5 days later, said, "Crucify him." People who professed some kind of faith on Sunday were acting in a completely different way. Have you ever met a Christian? Have you ever met a church person who's standing up talking about hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, and shouting and running up and down the aisle on Sunday morning, and you get to the parking lot and they'll cuss you out? They're in the crowd, but there's no conviction in the heart. They lay down their coats, but they won't lay down their life for Jesus Christ. And Christ needs some people. He's not in the coat business. He's in the life business. And I want to know how is it that these Palm Sunday folk changed within 5 days? Here's the first thing. The Bible talks about three paths that led from support to crucify. Here's the first path. The path of distorted truth. If you read Matthew 26 and 59, priests, the high priest, they were looking for people who would give testimony of Jesus. They were looking for people who would lie about Jesus. How many know that not only governments lie, but sometimes church folk lie? And they were looking for somebody who would give a half truth. Deception is telling a lie that has enough connection to the truth that it'll make people believe you. You haven't met anybody like that? That's why when they go to court, they say, "Tell the truth and nothing but the truth." So what? So help you God. In other words, don't bring no half truth in here. Tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And the worst person in the world is the one who's going to tell you a bunch of half truth. And how many of you know a half truth ain't nothing but a... I just thought I'd help somebody out. So here's what it was. Remember over in John chapter 2, somebody up there in the sound booth up there, if you can find that text, John chapter 2, verse 19, if you'll put that one up there, and then that text, Matthew 26:59. think that's it. But the one in John talks about, Jesus tells him, if you destroy this temple, in 3 days, I'll raise it up. That's what Jesus said. But when you look over there, I think it's in Luke chapter 26, 59, they don't say that. They say, he said that he would destroy this temple, and 3 days, he will rebuild it. He didn't say that. He said, and if he said, if somebody else destroys this temple, talking about his body, in 3 days, I will raise it. They said that Jesus said that I will destroy this temple, the building. He didn't say that. Look at somebody say, he didn't say that. And then he said, then they said, and he said he would rebuild it. He didn't say, look at somebody say, he didn't say that. It was a half truth. And the worst thing in you, the world, is for you and me to live our lives based on a bunch of half truth. That's why you gotta watch what news you watch. That's why you gotta watch what books you read. That's why you gotta watch who you hang around with. Do I have a witness in the house? Because they will give you a bunch of half truth, and those half truth will drive you right to hell. Do I have a witness? You better be careful. The half truth that you listen. Why you gotta be careful who you listen to. Now, what bothers me sometimes about church folk, because they'll go to some of the craziest preachers in the world. He got a nice suit, a nice car, nice haircut, a nice diamond ring on every finger, and he's got a nice swagger, but he ain't telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And then they'll run out there and give him money and go up there and lay down dollars around the altar, which bothers me, by the way. You don't need to bring no dollar up here. Put it in the offering plate and just say amen when you hear the truth. Go out there and get all that craziness and come back here and say, you ain't doing it like him. No, I'm not. Have no intention to, because I'm not listening to him. I'm listening to the voice of God Almighty. And it's not a pretty gospel every now and then. Every now and then I gotta get in your face. I just thought I'd throw that in. But, you know, you got to be careful who you put on the witness stand if they're going to tell a half-truth. And then I urge you all. There will always be somebody who will try to twist the word. Do I have a witness? This is the path that the devil uses to mess you up. And that's why I urge you every day that you'll be in the word read, and then once a week you'll be in the word fed. Oh, I like that. You're preaching, Jackson. Preach, Jackson. Say it one more time, please, Jackson. Nobody else, say it for yourself. I encourage you, every day you ought to be in the word read, and then once a week you ought to show up for the word fed. That'll feed your soul, that'll sustain you. When people come with half truth and try to twist the word of God, you will know for yourself, this is what the words. Do I have a witness here? Because you and me, we need something to sustain us. Because the devil will always, he'll come out trying to tell you like, yeah, he said he's a healer. You in the church, well, why are you always sick? Say he'll take care of you. Why you ain't got hit? Well, look at somebody, say he never promised that it'd be easy. He never promised that every day would be Sunday. But he did promise you that he would never leave you. Nor for, am I talking right in here? That's the word. He never promised you that you never have. In fact, he said, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have trial. You will have tribulation. But don't you worry about it. I have not forsook the world. So in that crowd, And that crowd on Palm Sunday, that were those folk who gave the half-truth. And then the second crowd, three crowds. Second crowd is the path of the crowd. First crowd is one who the path that will lead you away from Christ by telling you half-truth. And the other group that you have to be careful of is the path of those who have powerful voices. Powerful voices. The priests. The elders. They were the one who said, listen, give us Barabbas. The priests. The reverend doctors with long flowing robes and Jerry Curl hair. The priests. They were the ones with powerful voices. And we live in a culture. We live in a culture where a small group have massive influence on millions. That's why you got. I declare unto you. I declare unto you. I'd rather for you to listen to no news than Fox News.
Yes, sir.
And what bothers me is, what makes me cry, Mabel, is to see some of these young, bright, beautiful black women and handsome black men on Fox News, and I'm wondering what you've been smoking. Children of Clarence Thomas. That's metaphorically speaking. Somebody said, what? But you got to be careful. You got to be careful. Because if you're not in the Word and you show up at an event because you heard that Howard University Gospel Choir is going to be singing, it's an event, and you come in here and get your praise on for about 10 minutes and you'll run right back out there and you'll listen to the wrong word. You will listen to those powerful voices that's trying to get your mind and your heart, and you'll go out there and you will fall away from Jesus Christ. Do I have a witness in here? If you're not anchored in the Word, you will be out there drifting on the sea of time. Powerful voices can pull you away from Jesus and can pull you away from your heritage and can pull you away from your past. It bothers me. I saw when that young boy, I forget what university, the honor student and the police beat him up. Y'all, you know who I'm talking about. And I saw these young kids on TV that were students at that university talking about, I don't know what racism is like. It made me cry. They think because they can date a white girl, there ain't no racism. They think because they can go to the movies with a white whoever, they ain't no. They think because they can go to a white college, they, you better wake up and smell the coffee. It makes my soul cry. What makes you cry? And if nothing makes you cry, you need to go back and check yourself out. Jesus looked over Jerusalem and he cried. He wept. And if I look at our nation and how they treated our president, first, it makes me cry. And secondly, it makes me mad. As heck. Thought I'd throw that in. Here's the question for you is, who are you listening to? What books are you reading? Who are you hanging out with? Can you list three names that you listen? I don't know why I'm into this three stuff. Can you list three names that you're listening to? Whose voice is sharpening your thinking? Now, you might not like everything I say, but my objective is at least is to make you think.
And if it's all right, if you don't agree, I'm not God, I'm just Greg. But at least you're thinking.
So in this crowd, you got to be careful. If you start listening to the wrong voices, the wrong voices can lead you astray. I know somebody can say amen to that. Let me give you one of the clues. Sometimes the wrong voice is fine. Oh, hello. And then sometimes the wrong voice is handsome. Oh, he couldn't be wrong. Not him. She could not possibly be wrong. And they're as wrong as they can be. You got to be able to separate the physical stature from the heart and the mind and the soul. You got to be able to know what the word of God says. And if they might be fine, they may be handsome, but if they're not talking the word of truth, you better be careful.
Here's the third path. Almost done. First one. Path of distorted truth. Second one is that path of powerful voices that you hear. And the third one is the path of foolish choices. Foolish choices. If you start out with a distorted truth, and then you fool around and listen to powerful voices that believe in a distorted truth, it's going to lead you and me to do what? Make foolish choices. Now, you got a choice to accept Jesus or Barabbas. Barabbas, a notorious criminal. Jesus, the Son of God. And you make the choice of Barabbas. You know you're a fool. And if you don't know you're a fool, I'm glad you stopped by. You're a fool number 101. You're a big fool. But when you're thinking is off, listen to me. When your thinking is off, when you're listening every day to half-truths, that's what bothers me about America. I can't even think how America, it seems to me, can be so backwards and so forward at the same time. The same America that elected the first African-American president as a sign of progress is the same one that elected Boehner and, what's that other guy, McConnell. Talking about a schizoid country. I know I just made somebody mad. That's all right. That's all right. I'll just tell you how I see it. But it starts with the half-truth and the powerful voices in big places. And then if you're not careful, you'll start buying all that mess just because they got a position and on TV. I don't care how many times Buena goes and get that tan. Look like he hang her out in a tan salon. Ain't a hair out of place, but his brain's out of place. As I see it. All right, get back to the text. I know somebody I tell you. The third path, the path that leads to foolish choices. The chief priests and the governor asked him, say, which one do you want released? And they chose Barabbas. And same crowd, 5 days later, chose Barabbas. The choice could have been, if they had really been solid in the word, if they really had been reading their Bible every single day, if they really had been going to the temple on a consistent basis, if they really knew who Jesus was, if they had not just been event, special occasion Jews. They would have made another choice. Do I have a witness in the house? They would not have chosen Barabbas. They would have chosen Jesus. Who would you choose? 2,000 years later, are you in the event crowd? Or have you been dug up by the plowshares of the gospel? Who would you choose?
Well, we know for a fact how church people today, how many of you know that church people can be so fickle? I mean, we got folk who can, in my grandmother's terminology, they can do the huckabuck in Jesus' name. I don't know what that is. That's my grandma. But they are event driven. I've seen it over and over. You know that I get up on Sunday morning and I try to preach, and we get a guest come in here say the same thing. The people who can't stand me will fall out, because the guests are saying the same thing that I've been saying. And I just said, look at them. I ain't going to tell you everything I said. Get real, please. Don't think I ain't going to be watching tomorrow night either. No, I'm just playing. All right. One more snapshot, I'm done. Okay, so we have this crowd now. You have this crowd from Palm Sunday, very supportive. A week later, same people in the crowd, some of the same people. Good Friday, and they cry. One Sunday they cry, Hosanna, and the other Sunday, Friday they say, crucify him. And then a few days later, 57 days later, from Palm Sunday to Pentecost, over in Acts 2, you remember that. And when the power of the Holy Spirit fell down, after Jesus had ascended to heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit to the same city, Jerusalem. And Peter, who had denied him, preaches a big day sermon, and 3,000 people join the church on Pentecost. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And my job, and all these preachers' job, is to get people to get to the question, even though they blown it on Good Friday, to get to the question, what must I do to be saved? And the word come back, what you must do is to repent and be baptized, and the Holy Spirit take root in your life, that you'll be able to live a life not propped up by a musical selection, not propped up because some praise dance is up here, not propped up because of some preacher standing up here, but it's propped up by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that resides in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls. City and the Savior. What? Where are you? Where are you? The text says that in Acts that God had made Christ, had made Jesus Lord and hope you'll come back. I hope you'll come back to hear Howard. But no, you know, but it's not all, it's not about 30 college kids. It's about, have you met Christ? It's about, have you had an experience with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that's not based on some kind of
antics and some kind of things that we put on the screen with some nice words. It's not based about a praise team. It's not based about whether somebody has said the right thing and get up and can get you all excited, but that God is real in your heart. God is real in your mind. There's something that sustains you in the bad times. You know what I'm talking about. We all go through bad times. We all cry sometimes. We all have an appointment with disappointment. But if you're faithful and if you really believe in Christ, you'll just stay right there. I'm hurting, but I'm here. It's not good, but I'm here. I still trust God anyhow. I don't know how he's going to bring me out, but I believe he's going to bring. I'm going to trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I